staples and for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama. Remember, the name is Los Tarascos, with locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, let's do this. Good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Monday, December 22nd, 2025. It's a victory Monday as the Crimson Tide got it done on Friday night. Great thing about playing Friday night, initially I was like, I don't really like playing on Friday night, but Alabama had it all to themselves. Didn't have to split time, didn't have to go against the NFL, didn't have to be played on TNT or True TV or wherever they stuck some of these games. Got to be played on ESPN and ABC, and then when you win the game, you got all weekend to enjoy it. You got all weekend to savor it. Now, Alabama fans were able to relax on Saturday and Sunday and not have any stress, but it was certainly stressful early on that Friday night. We'll get into it here in just a moment. But welcome in, everyone. I'm Gary Harris. I got Reed Karch in the next couple of days, subbing for Chase Brumfield, who's getting a little holiday break. But good to have Reed in this morning. Wyatt Fulton's already in this morning. He's been working with Martin Houston and Wimpen Berry, so we're ready to go. And the building here at Town Square is pretty much empty. But Tide, not for Tide. Tide is booming out the next couple of days, getting ready for Christmas.
We do it best, Gary.
That's right. And but we're glad to be here this morning. Obviously, I'm not so sure I'd have as much enthusiasm had Alabama lost that game on Friday night, but the Tide didn't. And we're going to dive into it full speed here in just a second. First, though, I need to tell you this hour of the Gary Harris Show is brought to you, as always, by Alabama Credit Union, your trusted partner for financial success. Embrace financial well-being with Alabama Credit Union. Member-owned and not-for-profit, it really is just a better way of banking. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money. And put extra change in your pocket. All right, the lineup for today, Rodney Orr from TiderInsider.com, Tider Insider TV, this morning at 9:30. At 10:30, it's Casey Smith on golf. We'll talk some ball with him as well. And your phone calls are welcome as always. 205-342-9904, 205-342-9904. We're going to grab some calls here in just a moment, in fact. All right, let's jump right in, though. Alabama football on Friday night, three other first-round playoff games on Saturday, NFL on Saturday and Sunday, Bama basketball, men and women both winning on Sunday. But, of course, we're going to lead with the Crimson Tide. And I heard Wimpen Berry talking as I was getting in here this morning, and I'm going to piggyback on what they said just a little bit. And because it was 17-0, excuse me, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't ever lie to you on the show, but I was thinking what everybody else was thinking. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you it looked good. It looked grave. It looked, Alabama looked dead in the water. I mean, it was just, I mean, you could not have started a game worse on the road in that environment, in what was at stake, than what Alabama started. But you know what? I also have watched a lot of football, and particularly in the last few years. And I do know this, whether you're on the good side of it or you're on the bad side of it, game is never over in the first quarter or the second quarter. A lot of times in the fourth quarter. We've seen teams, we saw in the NFL yesterday several times, teams down double digits with just a few minutes to go, coming back and winning the game. We've seen very unlikely comebacks in college football. So while it did not look good and Alabama was absolutely getting dominated in every aspect of the game, I'm going to say good sense. I think that's fair. I had the good sense not to run out there on Twitter and put the dagger in Alabama. I had the good sense not to run out there on social media, whatever the platform, and talk about how bad Alabama is and how they didn't deserve to be in the playoff, and how this game was over, and how it's an embarrassment, and how it's awful, and how the dynasty is dead, only then to either have to walk it back or come back with a lot of them either deleted it, walked it back, or did the old, it was correct at the time. That's one, too. Well, it was correct at the time. When I tweeted that, they were terrible. They were, you know, it's a 60-minute game. And in real clock time or in clock time, and it's over about 3.5 hours in real time. So I was obviously happy Alabama came back and won the game, and it didn't look good. And like I said, I was like everyone else watching the first quarter and a half. It did not start or go the way that Alabama fans had hoped it would go. But you can't give up in the first half. And it was peculiar set of circumstances. Now, at that first drive, Alabama put together a beautiful drive. All right, let's give Alabama credit for that. It's 17-0. People want to talk about the pick six and the drop punt snap and Oklahoma dropping a pass and all that. But that first drive, 75 yards, that was capped off by the Lotzier Brooks 4th-and-2 for a touchdown. You got to give Alabama a lot of credit for that. I mean, down 17-0, taking that ball 75 yards, Reed, and punching it in. That really, without that drive, without that score, Alabama doesn't come back. But they got on the board, and then, you know what, they pressured Mateer. Sab should have had a sack. I mean, he overran him, and he got out, and he found a guy open. But the guy did drop the ball, okay? That happens. And then on the next play, the Oklahoma punter drops a snap. And Big Tim Keenan is there to take it off his foot, and Alabama kicks a field goal, and it's 17-10. And Oklahoma pushing as they should have to try to get more points. They're out near midfield thinking, well, we can add a field goal or a touchdown and go back up two scores at half. And Xavier Brown does what Xavier Brown does. Xavier Brown reminds me a lot of Antonio Lingham. He's got a similar build, and he is able to jump routes. He's able to read the quarterback, and he's able to make plays as great cornerbacks can do. And yes, he did get the pick six. He did take it back, and it was 17-17, and from there it was game on. But the game was not over in the first or second quarter. And you just think that people, educated people, watching as much football as these people watch would have the better sense than to run out there and bury Alabama. And not just bury the team for that game, but bury DeBoer, bury the program, bury the, you know, the history of Alabama football. Well, they ate a lot of crow before the game was over. All right, it's 9:13. Let's go ahead and start taking some phone calls because they're lined up for us. And we'll get Bryce and then Corey and Trustful. You hold tight. We'll get to you. Anybody else that wants to get through, 205-342-9904. Good morning, Bryce.
Good morning, Gary. On my way to Dallas. What was your prediction in that game?
I had Alabama 24, Oklahoma 20.
You said 24-20?
That's what I predicted, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's 17-0, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I thought Winston could get a butt kicking.
Yeah, everyone did.
Everything. Yeah, I thought it wasn't going to turn out good, you know. But that just goes to show you, it's never over till it's over. And all these people have been down in the coach and the team. They need to get behind them. If not, they need to go root for Auburn or somebody else, you know?
Well,
they're not true Alabama fans. But however, I just heard someone on the show. I don't know if you heard it on Barry and the Wimp, that seems like the pendulum has swung, but he don't want nobody to know it.
All right, I'm trying to follow you. What pendulum has swung?
That he's got more confidence in this coaching staff and this team.
Who is he? You talking about Cowboy?
Well, you know how he goes, but
okay. You're talking about your associate, as you call him. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. I was having a hard time following you. You feel like he's got more confidence now in Alabama, but he doesn't want to let on that he does. Is that what you're saying?
Well, And exactly, because I had a conversation with him earlier. However, he said he's got us going to the final.
Oh, wow.
You know, so I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay.
You know, but, hey, and if Jeff from the Brewer calls in, telling man, Kentucky's just having a bad time. I saw where they lost the volleyball to A&M.
Yeah, we had an all-SEC volleyball championship on Sunday, and it was Texas A&M beating Kentucky. Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff from the Borough, he's not having no fun at all.
Yeah, so, but it was a national championship for A&M, so it makes up, doesn't make up for not winning that football game, but it was good for A&M to win a national championship in volleyball. That's an exciting sport, by the way.
Yeah, they finally got something. See, my brother and sister-in-law, ex-brother and sister-in-law, are big Aggie fans. I know they're not going to be happy, but I'll say at least y'all did win the volleyball. I'll tell them when, because I'll see them You know, they're real big A&M fans.
Yeah, will you see your associate while you're out there?
Sir?
Will you see your associate while you're out there in Dallas?
I'm going to do my best.
Okay.
You know, as it's time about the grandbaby. She's 3 years old, so you know how that goes.
Oh, yeah. All right, well, safe travels, Bryce.
I want you to look up something. I'd just be curious to see the ratings on this game.
All right, I'll see if I can find them.
I had a chance to look them up.
Yeah, I'll look for them and see if they're out yet. I sure will.
I bet it'd be off the chart.
You think it would be good because they had it all themselves Friday night, and it was a heck of a game. So, yeah, I bet it was pretty good. I'll see if I can find it.
Well, see, I didn't get to watch the game. I watched the replay, but that catch was just phenomenal. It was Pro Co 2, you know.
Yeah, it was a great catch.
And I was listening to the quarterback, Watt, you know, because when I was out there in 202, Watt was the quarterback.
Yeah, he was. You know, I talked to him. I kid him all the time about that ball that he dropped out of his hand when he went to throw it. And I kid him.
What's your schedule?
Huh?
What's your schedule rest of the week?
I'm here Monday and Tuesday, and that's it. That's it for all of us. We're all the sports talk will be all be out Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Well, you have a safe and Merry Christmas, Gary.
Thank you, Bryce. Appreciate you, man. You're one of our best callers. We appreciate you. All right, 9:18. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Corey and Trustful on the other side. We got Rodney Orr from TiderInsider.com, our first guest at 9:30. Can't wait to visit with him about this game in the college football playoff. And so much to get into this morning. Also, I did not mention it. We've got sound from Nate Oates from yesterday after Alabama. Really did not finish that game strong at the Rocket City Classic. They were up 30, and they winning by 11. And give Kennesaw State, Antoine Petway, Philip Pearson, and those guys credit for continuing to fight. I mean, the game was over at half, but the final margin looked a lot better. It looked like for a while Alabama was going to be on their way to a 30 or 40-point game, but Kennesaw kept fighting, and it wound up with an 11-point margin. But we're going to hear from Nate Oates, from Kayla DeBoer. We've got some other sound from the Rose Bowl, too. From the Rose Bowl. They're going to the Rose Bowl from the CFP matchup in Norman. We'll get into these other games, and then crazy day in the NFL yesterday. Absolutely crazy day. And last night, I'll say this real quickly. I don't know what John Harbaugh is doing. I have no idea. That's why the Ravens aren't going anywhere. I mean, I know Henry had the fumble in the first half, but he was absolutely running over the Patriots. He scores a touchdown. The Ravens go up two scores. He never touched the ball again. I don't know if he even got in the game again, and they wound up losing to the Patriots. All right, we'll be back with more of the Gary Harris Show.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Visit alabamacu.com to learn more. Some rules and restrictions apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meat and Three Special. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m., get a meat and three vegetables for just $8.49. Or for a lighter appetite, try the Lucky Lunch Soup, Salad, or Sandwich Combo. I'll see you at the Free.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after-hours events, rehearsal dinners, receptions, and birthdays. They offer brunch and lunch catering. Call Brick and Spoon at 205-345-5551 for more information.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy skies today with a few light showers possible, mainly west and south, though many areas stay dry. Highs in the lower 60s tonight, mostly cloudy and mild, lows in the upper 40s to lower 50s. Tomorrow brings improving skies, warmer temperatures, highs rising into the upper 60s to near 70 degrees. I'm meteorologist Bill Murray on Tide 100.9.
It's 57 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Here, I think that's Head East is the name of that band. Yeah, that's off an album called Flat as a Pancake in 1974. How about that? See, that's why I talk music on this show. And but I can't think of the name of the actual song. What's that name of the actual song?
Never Been Any Reason.
Yeah, Never Been Any Reason. Yeah, but that's from Head East and Flat as a Pancake album. Rodney Orr coming up here and few minutes. Right now, we're going to take a phone call. Our pal Corey over in Trustful is going to break it all down for us. Good morning, Corey.
Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
Good, good.
I'm going to mention something real quick. Did you see the end of that Steelers game yesterday?
Unfortunately, I did, because I was pulling for the Lions. And, I had a tough day in the NFL other than the Panthers yesterday. I was really pulling for the Ravens last night. They blew it. I was pulling for the Lions. They blew it. So, but yeah, I did. I did see it. Crazy, crazy, crazy ending.
I never seen an ending like that before ever, because I didn't know the rule you could do that. I mean, first of all, I think it was the second quarter toward the halftime where Aaron Rodgers throws a ball to the running back and he's down, and then he's not down. He picks up, he gets up and runs for a touchdown. And then on top of that, you have the ending of the game where there's OPI, and the guy tries to lateral it. And he scores, and they said he did score, but there was OPI, and you can't advance, and Pittsburgh wins. I've never seen anything like that before.
Yeah, what they're saying is you can't an offensive penalty ends the game. So in that situation, you can't, you know, what you think would happen, well, the Lions score a touchdown, the Steelers have to take the penalty, and the Lions still get another play. First of all, I thought the offensive pass interference was a little bit iffy, but, you know, it is what it is. But the officials ruled that in that situation, you can't reward the offense by giving them an extra play, and they benefit from the penalty, so the game ended. And it's a tough, tough loss for the Lions, but it was crazy. And, you know, give the Steelers a lot of credit, man. They've gotten off the mat. Everybody, ever since most people were saying that Tomlin needed to be gone, they've gotten up the map, and meanwhile, off the mat. Meanwhile, in Baltimore, the Ravens are just a mess. They're a mess. Lamar didn't play the second half, and Henry had a fumble in the second quarter. You know, he's had three costly fumbles this year, one against Buffalo, one against Detroit, and one now against the Patriots. But still, he came back and, you know, was having a great, great game, scored, you know, fairly early in the fourth quarter. The Ravens go up 10, and we never saw the guy again. He sat over there on the sideline. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. 18 carries, I think, for 128 yards and two touchdowns. And we didn't see him anymore. And the Ravens wound up losing. And I guess technically, if they lose the last two and the Steelers win, or if they win the last two and the Steelers lose the last two, I think they still might get in. Of course, they play the Steelers, but they'd have to have the Steelers lose in Cleveland. And the Ravens would have to win their next game. I'm not even sure who it's against. It might be against. Who is it against? Look it up. It might be against Seattle. If it is, I'm not sure. But Reed's going to look it up. Anyway, the Ravens have blown every opportunity they have.
They got the Packers, and then they got the Steelers.
Yeah, so it is Packers. It's a tough game. So Ravens would have to win their last two, and the Steelers would have to lose their last two, I think. And Ravens might still get in, but it's been a lost season in Baltimore. They've just never been able to get over the hump. They've lost a lot of close games, and last night, you know, again, you're up 10. Your future Hall of Fame running back is rolling, and then you just stick him on the bench and just leave him over there the rest of the game. The craziest thing I've ever seen in my life.
But then going to Alabama, a really good win for Alabama. What a resilient win. Really excited to see going forward how they match up with Indiana. I actually think this. I think all the pressure is on Indiana because they've had a really good season. Something they've before. Alabama's had really good history in the Rose Bowl and the 100th anniversary of Alabama in the Rose Bowl. And I think Alabama can win this game. I really do. I mean, yes, Indiana's on a, which as is won't be denied, kind of attitude kind of team. But I really think Alabama can win this game because I mean, let's face it, Alabama's got the better talented roster, but I think Alabama has this like hard to kill kind of team. I think they can win this game.
Oh, I think they can too, and I'll get into it with Rodney Orr coming up in the next segment. I'll say this right now: I think Alabama can win. At the same time, I'm not going to discount Indiana because it's quote unquote Indiana, and people are going to want to say, "Well, it's Indiana." This Indiana team is a legit team. They're 13-0. They're physical. They're athletic. They've got the Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback, and they've beaten Ohio State. They've beaten Oregon. I still think Alabama has the best win in the country this year. Their win at Georgia, their win in Athens over Georgia. But to say that a team that was able to win at Oregon and beat Ohio State is not a great team is I think it's incorrect. I think you're going to see a lot of Alabama fans do that. I think you're going to see a lot of Alabama fans, not all, but some of them will say, oh, well, we're Alabama and they're Indiana. And that's what, that's what they're going to, that's what they're going to base it on. And I'm not going to base it on that. I'm going to look at the team. But I do think Alabama can win. But I also understand they're up against a great football team.
And how great would this win be in the 100th anniversary of the Rose Bowl? And I think that would just be a great historical context right there.
It would be. It would be outstanding. And it's very ironic to be going back 100 years after the first Rose Bowl trip. So a lot of history. It's going to be fun to break it down over the next nearly 2 weeks, and that's what we'll do here on the show, Corey.
Yeah, it'd be great to get this back where it all started against Washington, and where they said the South couldn't compete against the other teams, and Alabama started playing their flag as college football's best of all time.
Well, that's why it's in the Yay Alabama song. Remember the Rose Bowl? We'll win then, so that's what it's all about. Hey, thank you, Corey. Appreciate it.
Good talk to you, Gary. Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. 9:29 here on the Gary here. So it's still a couple days before Christmas. Get by and see Tom and the crew at T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall and get that $99 suit sale for Christmas. You heard me. $99 for a full suit, and you'll look great for the holidays. Still time to get by at T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall. We'll be back with Rodney Orr next here on the Gary Harris Show. Did you have any As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and 3 special.
The Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside.
Contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127, NorthRiverTimberCO@gmail.com, North River Timber Company.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour specials. And for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama, remember, the name is Los Tarascos, with locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Visit alabamacu.com to learn more. Some rules and restrictions apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today. today and feel good about your money.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well, The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show, and it's time for Rodney Orr from TiderInsider.com, Tider Insider TV, for his weekly visit, and a lot to cover this morning, that's for sure. Good morning, Rodney.
Good morning. How are you, Gary?
Doing well. Let's dive right in. Before we look ahead to the Rose Bowl, let's start back with what we saw on Friday night. I've already said when it was 17-0, it didn't look good, but unlike many, I had the common sense, or I say common sense, good sense, not to run out on social media and plaster how the game was over and Alabama was dead and program was a joke and all those things that so many people did, because I've seen too much football to know that, not to know that there's still a lot that could happen. Now, it did not look good, and I thought everybody talks about, the drop punt snap by Oklahoma and the kid dropping the ball on third down and the pick six. I thought the game was, if you want a lot of big plays in the game, but I thought the biggest situation was 17-0. Alabama goes on a 75-yard drive. And Ty hit the big pass to Brooks, and then on the fourth and two hit Brooks again, who had a great touchdown. And, you know, without that drive, I don't think anything else matters, Rodney. So Alabama deserves a lot of credit for coming back after getting shell-shocked in an incredibly tough environment in a college football playoff game on the road and giving themselves a chance. And then I thought in the second half really took control of the game. What did you see?
Well, I thought there were several key plays, obviously. And I think the sequence I'd start with would be that drive you referred to. I think obviously the third down catch falling down by Brooks was huge. And then obviously the effort that he gave on the touchdown was really big at 17-7. Then I would say the next sequence would be on the incomplete pass you're talking about when Oklahoma had third down. I mean, I think if Mateer just runs the ball, he's easily got the first down. But, the back, Robinson, drops the ball down the field. He might have scored. That would have been big. That would have given them a 24-7 lead. They would have answered Alabama's score. And then on the very next play, they drop the snap. Keenan blocks it, all of those things. So I thought those were really key and instrumental in the way the game unfolded from there on out. And then, of course, the pick six was huge. And then, of course, I thought Alabama did a fantastic job coming out in the third quarter with the drive that they had. You know, Ty finds Brooks for the touchdown that gives Alabama the lead. And, Alabama just took control. I know they got a lot of breaks, but you know what? The script just flipped from what happened here in Tuscaloosa. Oklahoma got all the breaks that day, and they created the breaks. I think in a lot of these instances, Alabama created the breaks, made great plays. The pick six, I thought Kane Womack, set that up extremely well. Damian Xavier Brown made a tremendous play. There was a lot of those things that I thought kind of combined to help Alabama win. But I still say, same thing I said on the Tuesday night on Tider Insider TV after the first game in November. I thought Alabama was a two-touchdown better team than Oklahoma. I think it kind of played out that way in this game.
So much was on the line for Alabama, and, you don't want to lose to a team twice in, one season. You don't want to lose to the same team three times in 13 months. And I just think Kalen DeBoer is a quality coach, and nothing against Brent Venables, but I think it would have been quite frankly embarrassing for Kalen DeBoer to lose three times to Vint Venables in 13 months. All that's off the board now. So again, before we switch to Indiana here, just for the perception of the program, for what's been going on as far as DeBoer linked to Michigan, this was just a huge win for Alabama football. Not that they have to validate themselves. This is the greatest program in the history of college football, but there were a lot of people ready to pile on about how Alabama should not have even been in the playoffs. So, good win for the Crimson Tide for a lot of reasons. The biggest, of course, is they advance to the round of eight, but a lot of perception aspects of this victory as well, Rod.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think you're right about that. I mean, I think that obviously what you referred to as some of the national people jumping on Alabama early, I think that's kind of foolish. You always have to allow a game to play out. And, as I was watching the game unfold, you knew that it was only a play away for Alabama to kind of get their mojo and get going. And, again, we referred to those plays. I thought, Alabama did a fantastic job of that, getting it turned around and all of that. And now they're in a great position. I think, I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of people, a lot of naysayers that say Alabama, can't beat this Indiana team. And I think Indiana's really good. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. They may not be the most talented team in the field by any means. They may not, probably not as talented overall as Alabama, top to bottom. But they're an extremely sound, disciplined, well-coached football team. They play with consistency. But I think Alabama, if they're on top of their game, feel really good about their chances in that one. And if you wanted to peek ahead, I mean, there's it's a pretty good draw for Alabama if they move on, I think.
Yeah, they would get to go into Atlanta, which is a place they've had a lot of success, and play who would it be, Rodney, if it would be
Texas
Oregon?
Texas Tech or Oregon. Yeah. And I think, again, Alabama's experience and, and being closer to home, that Alabama's got a, good record over there in Atlanta. Seemed to play well there for the most part, except this last time. I would like that. I would like that. I think that would be a good draw for Alabama and, go from there. But again, Indiana's next. It's in the Rose Bowl. There's a lot of crazy things here. Alabama's going for their 1,000th victory for the second time, really, Gary, as you know. Alabama having been stripped of victories that probably should be reinstated. But Alabama going for their 1,000th victory. It's 100 years exactly from when they won their first national championship in the Rose Bowl there. Went to and played Washington in a game that people said Alabama had no business being there. And Alabama won the game, won the national championship, and, became Dixie's football pride and all that stuff. So it's just kind of crazy that now Alabama's going back out there exactly 100 years later in the same Rose Bowl to play Indiana in this game.
All right, let's, before we move again to focus strictly on Indiana, what we saw Saturday in the other first-round games, of course, Alabama beat Oklahoma on Friday night, and then heck of a game between A&M and Miami out in College Station. So let's start right there. A&M, you and I have followed them closely the last few years. And granted, they had a great regular season, but at the end of the day, it was your typical Aggie letdown. I mean, you're 11-0. Then you lose to your in-state rival, Texas, to wreck your perfect season. You go from being a first-round bye opportunity, and certainly would have played in Atlanta for the SEC championship, to playing in the first round at home, and you lose at home to Miami, to a team that could only muster 10 points. And it's got to be a huge letdown for the Aggs.
Yeah. Of course, I got a lot of Aggie friends. And some of them listened to your show, actually. And, I was texting with a couple of them about 10 days ago or so. Well, it was right before the Texas game. And, we were kind of talking about they've had a lifelong of letdowns, just another experience where, they're just gutted. And that's really what happened at Texas, And then they followed up with this loss. I know they were really excited out there at Texas A&M to be hosting this playoff game. And, felt like their chances were really good, that they'd bounce back after the Texas loss. And they just didn't do it. I mean, they found ways to, and give Miami credit. Mario Cristobal did a fantastic job to go on the road, have that team ready. They're really physical. I like the brand of football that Miami's playing right now up front on both sides of the ball. And they just kind of, A&M didn't capitalize on some of their opportunities. But I thought, again, give Miami credit. They missed some field goals. They had some opportunities too, but I just thought they played a really physical brand of football.
And in the other two games, we got what we suspected we would get. No offense to Tulane or James Madison, but Tulane, we'd already seen this movie once. They get blown out by Ole Miss and Oxford, and then give James Madison credit for fighting back to make that score a little bit more respectable, but it was over at halftime. So, again, listen, it doesn't matter what I think. The people that are in charge are going to do what they want to do, but we are at some point, whether we stay at 12 or expand to 16, going to have to decide if this playoff is going to be about getting the best teams or if it's going to be about participation trophies and we're going to let other teams in that and leave teams out that are better than some of the teams that are in. What are your thoughts on that?
I couldn't agree more. I mean, again, I watched these other games that, I mean, I just wasn't interested. Ole Miss and Tulane, thought it was really boring. In terms of you knew that Tulane just really didn't have a chance as you watch that game unfold, and kind of the same thing. I thought JMU obviously, scored a lot of points on Oregon for sure, but they there was never any doubt, I think. I would much rather have seen Texas A&M and I would much rather have seen Ole Miss and Notre Dame.
Absolutely.
Playing or even Ole Miss and Vandy again or Ole Miss and Texas. Or, Oregon and Notre Dame, those games would have really been, would add something to the overall, playoff and from a fan's perspective. And I'm with you 100%, Gary. And I know there's a lot of people that want to continue to have more and more of these types of teams in there. But I just think it's not for the best of college football. I think that these teams that deserve it, that have played tough schedules and that have proven themselves on the highest level should be the ones in the game.
Yeah, again, if you saw James Madison play in Oregon during the regular season, you would just look at it, even though James Madison's got a really good team and a really good program, it wouldn't move the meter. And the same thing with Ole Miss and Tulane. But you see Ole Miss and Notre Dame or you see Oregon and Texas, that moves the meter. It does. That's the reality. All right, let's get to Alabama and let's get to Indiana. And I've already read your piece that you put out on the board, and you got a certain amount of Alabama fans, and I don't mean this in the wrong way. It's just the truth. They see the brand. They see Indiana. And I don't care what Indiana has accomplished the last 2 years, you're going to have some Alabama fans that are not going to be convinced that this is going to be a competitive game regardless. But Indiana's a really good team. They're 13-0. It's not a fluke. They've beaten Ohio State, who I still think – you could argue is the best team in the country or was the best team in the country. I think Alabama's win at Georgia is the best win of the year, but that maybe is second. They won at Oregon. I think Oregon's a great football team, and they beat everybody on their schedule. So I'm not going to fall into that trap. They've got the Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback. They're fast. They're physical. They're disciplined. I think Alabama can win the game, pretty much what you said in your piece, but Alabama will have to play better than it played against Oklahoma. You're not going to fall down 17-0 against this team, in my opinion, to come back. This is going to be a really difficult game on New Year's Day in Pasadena.
I think the one thing, obviously, I don't think Indiana is the most talented team in the field, but they're extraordinarily well coached. I think Kirk Cinetti, the former Bama assistant, of course, has done a fantastic job there. Gary, I think they believe. That's the one thing I see. They play with confidence. They're sound. They're well disciplined. When you look at a team, they're plus 17 in turnover margin.
It's amazing.
That is amazing. They have 10 more interceptions than their opponents, and they have 7 more. Fumble recovery. So it's just amazing. They're really well balanced offensively. You look at them, they rush for 221, they pass for 251, I think it is, and then they've scored 71 touchdowns, 38 through the air, 29 on the ground. So they're really, really well balanced. You mentioned Mendoza. He's been an extraordinarily consistent quarterback, throwing the ball. Defensively, they're strong against the run. They only give up like 77 yards a game. They're really sound. They're one of the top pass rush teams in the country in terms of sacks. They have 39. Now, I think they are without their top pass rusher in this game. I think he's the guy that got injured in the celebration after the Ohio State game. So they'll be without him. But, again, this is a really good football team. It's sound, and I think when I say that, too, I kind of contrast that to Alabama. I don't think Alabama's consistently been a sound football team. There's a lot of ups. There's a lot of downs, especially on the offensive side of the ball. We've seen that. They've struggled. We even saw that in this Oklahoma game. Now, they caught fire at the end of the game. But I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to be frank with you. There have been times that I've jumped on this Alabama bandwagon. Okay, now they've turned the corner. And, then we see them you know, lay an egg again. I don't think that's going to happen in the Rose Bowl. I think this is a team that's now, as they go out there, certainly they're going to be the underdog. I think that plays into it a little bit. I think it can help them with their preparation, their focus, and all of that. So I expect Alabama to go out there and play well, but they're going to have to play. They can't, the first 23 minutes, play the way they did in this Oklahoma game and expect to beat Indiana. Now, we'll say this, too. This could work in Alabama's favor. I think Indiana's last game, it was December the 6th, and they're not playing again until, January the 1st. That's a long layoff. Sometimes when teams have those long layoffs, they start out really slow in a game. You know, we've seen that before. So we'll see how that kind of plays out. Perhaps that plays in Alabama's favor a little bit.
And getting back to what you said about maybe the overall talent not having as many high draft picks as some of these other teams in the playoffs, but let's not forget, too, as you mentioned, they have the Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback. He could be the number one overall pick, and he is an exceptional player. I've watched enough of him, and those wide receivers now, they can play. He's not throwing all these touchdowns by accident. I mean, he's got some guys that can catch it. And you can't dismiss their talent. You can't say, as I think some people will try to do, well, the talent gap is really wide. I don't think it's that wide. Maybe physically Alabama has a more talented roster, but Indiana's got some good players. It's not just, they're not just doing this, Rodney, because they're tough and they're disciplined. And they got some good football players now.
Yeah, I wasn't suggesting this is Army or Navy you're trotting out there, in terms of just being really disciplined and all of that. But they get – and you're right. The gap is not that wide at all. And they've upgraded their roster from last year when they did not have a good performance in that first-round playoff game. So they've upgraded. Cignetti knows what he's doing. He knows talent, knows how to evaluate. He's upgraded very quickly. And you're 100% correct about the gap. There's not that. It's how much are you going to get out of these guys? And what Cignetti is getting out of these guys is pretty amazing. He's getting everything out of those guys. They beat Ohio State. Ohio State's a really, really good football team. They're extremely talented football team. Now, if they played again, I'd probably think Ohio State would win the rematch. But that's not really the case right now. I mean, what they did in that first game, in that championship game, they found ways to win the game. And I know Ohio State made some mistakes. Indiana wasn't perfect either. But they know how to win games. And they play on a high level. They play with consistency. And that's the thing. Again, I go back to saying this about Alabama. What we've seen, we haven't seen a consistency in performance over a long period of time. Just kind of the way it is. And hopefully they get the corner turned and start playing with more consistency.
As you pointed out, though, at the top of the conversation or earlier, if you're Alabama, though, and you get past Oklahoma on the road, you do see a path to the national championship game. I mean, if you can beat Indiana and Pasadena, then you go to Atlanta, where you'll have a kind of a home feel against either Oregon or Texas Tech. So mm-hmm. Winning that first game has opened up a lot of possibilities, obviously. I mean, you're one of eight teams that are alive, but I mean, there is a path now for Alabama, a very reasonable path to think that Alabama has a shot to make it all the way to the national championship game.
Well, no doubt. I mean, it's just like a few years ago in basketball when Alabama got the draw, and I said, look, it's a good draw. It's a favorable draw. They have to win this first game, and then they can move on. I really thought it was good. They moved on to the Final Four. But I think it's kind of the similar thing here. I mean, if you can find a way to beat Indiana, then you get, like you said, the Atlanta draw, and then you go into that. You would go into the championship game, and you look at the teams that they would most likely play: Georgia, Ohio State, Miami. That would, because I don't think Ole Miss is beating Georgia. Again, one game, you never really know. Alabama's already beaten Georgia once. I think, the way Georgia totally manhandled Alabama and embarrassed them in the SEC championship game. And again, I understand Alabama was not at full strength. They had a lot of injuries in that game. But, if you had that matchup, I think that would be extremely interesting to me, the rubber match, so to speak, if they were to draw Georgia in the national championship game. And like I said, I think Alabama could easily compete with Ohio State and Miami too. So you never really know. I think there's certainly there's a possibility Alabama could at least get to the championship game.
All right, final question, and that's the health of this team. Obviously, against by the time they got to the SEC championship game, no excuse, but Alabama was really banged up in that game. You saw, I thought Ty Simpson looked a little healthier. Obviously, Daniel Hill. You get Jam Miller back, Quavis, although neither one of them were at 100%. Now you get another rest period. So there's reasonable, it's reasonable, Rodney, to think that this Alabama football team is going to be as healthy as it's been since, you know, early in the year.
Well, Kalen DeBoer's been saying for weeks, now that they would be a different football team as the playoffs unfolded. You know, he got to the playoffs, and I thought we saw that. You mentioned Daniel Hill. You know, he was really banged up in that SEC championship game. Of course, Quavis was out, and, you know, just a lot of guys were not close to 100%. And I think we saw them much closer now. You've got some more time off. You've got 11 days. It seems like that they came out of the game pretty solid there in terms of their injuries. So, you know, a little more rest. They should be in better shape for that Indiana game, I think.
All right, Rod, great segment. And I know the board is going to be nuts between now and the game on New Year's Day. And if people want to get and, you know, become a part of it, it's not very difficult.
Right. It's TiderInsider.com. It's only $48 a year, and you can get instant access with your credit card if you prefer. There is an address there to send a check. Gives you all our premium information, but also our all sports forum. Been exchanging some stuff there this morning, Gary. A lot of talk, you know, some of very similar to what we've discussed here. But, yeah, a lot of great input, a lot of great thoughts there on TiderInsider.com.
Thanks, Rod.
Okay, buddy. Take care.
All right, 9:54. We're going to come back and wrap up hour number one. Hour number two is coming up, and I see we already got a phone call. Pat, if you want to keep holding, we'll get to you, and we'll come back and wrap up this first hour of the Gary here.
For you, call 800-8000 or visit meswins.com. I've got this.
No representations made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Visit alabamacu.com to learn more. Some rules and restrictions apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meat and Three Special. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m., get a meat and three vegetables for just $8.49. Or for a lighter appetite, try the Lucky Lunch Soup, Salad, or Sandwich Combo. I'll see you at the Free.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy skies today with a few light showers possible, mainly west and south of many areas. Stay dry. Highs in the lower 60s tonight. Mostly cloudy and mild, lows in the upper 40s to lower 50s. Tomorrow brings improving skies, warmer temperatures, highs rising into the upper 60s to near 70 degrees. I'm meteorologist Bill Murray on Tide 100.9.
It's 57 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Goal line in, touchdown, Alabama!
On your home for Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9.
And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to the Gary Harris Show. Yesterday, I was out walking on the Riverwalk and put out a little video on Facebook because I went ahead and got on the scale yesterday morning, Reed, and I got the result that I expected, unfortunately. I wound up packing on like I do every football season. I wound up packing on about 15 pounds this football season, if you go back to July or August to where I'm at now. And, yeah, I've stayed active, but I haven't been working out. I say all that to tell you this. I'm getting back in the Y. You know, it's coming. And I know I've talked to you folks about it, too. The YMCA, listen, it's got everything that you need, from the facility to the equipment to the fitness classes to the personal training. And I'm rededicating myself. I just have to do it. I mean, it's just the reality of it. And when I do it, I'm going to be doing it at the Y, because the YMCA is tremendous. And the only thing that's missing is you. The Y is ready for you, and you're ready for the Y, and I'm ready to get back in the Y myself. YMCA of Tuscaloosa, 2300 13th Street downtown. All right, that's going to wrap it up for hour number one. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Hour number two is on the way. We'll get the phone calls, and we'll do that right after this timeout. Hour number two, the Gary Harris Show, coming up.
If I see her in the dark,
Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Chris Perfect.
Early in the game in Detroit, Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver DK Metcalf was apparently involved in an altercation with a fan at Ford Field. The CBS broadcast managed to catch Metcalf talking to the fan and then shoving them after words were exchanged. Referees of the game did not catch the incident. The NFL has yet to weigh in on what is going to happen to the wide receiver. Chiefs quarterback Gardner Minshew is feared to have suffered a torn ACL in Sunday's tilt against the Tennessee Titans. Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson came out of his game on Sunday Night Football in the second quarter. Reports indicate he suffered a back bruise and he's now considered day-to-day. Quinshon Judkins, running back for the Cleveland Browns, faces a 4 to 5 month recovery window after breaking his leg in Sunday. The Boston Red Sox are acquiring first baseman Wilson Contreras in a trade with the St. Louis Cardinals that went down late Sunday.
Now, this hour's West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the Tuscaloosa Thread headlines. So far, there are no charges from a shooting sparked by an altercation between two men at a 3300 block of Willow Ridge Lane Sunday morning. The shooter claims self-defense. Some 7 million Southerners will be joining 120 million Americans traveling for the Christmas holiday, according to AAA's Clay Ingram.
Southeastern region of the country.
Treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/RADIO.
The Gary Harris Show. UCM host Tider Insider TV. Crimson Tide kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Hour number two of the Gary Harris Show on the air here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. I'm Gary Harris, Reed Karch alongside Manny the Controls, taking your phone calls this morning on the Gary Harris Show hotline, and that's where we're going to start out in this second hour. We got a couple phone calls ready to go, and Pat has been patiently holding. And Pat, I got to tell you, those oatmeal applesauce cookies were unbelievable. Pat came out Friday, Reed, to our live remote at Decades and brought a pan of cookies. We ate some of them there at Decades, and then I took some home, and then I took some into the TV station, and everybody loved them. And he made them. You made them without eggs, you said, right?
Yeah, man. It was very difficult getting the, and I still didn't hit it like it should have been. Getting them to rise. That I had to add baking powder and calls for baking soda, but not baking powder in my recipe. But anyway, I'm glad that you enjoyed them. That was the main thing. And that was my Merry Christmas. Thank you for putting up with me. But I was dead on about the 30 points.
You were.
I had the game at 28-20 was what I really thought it was going to be. And I was just hoping for some gravy. And we got it, and it made for a convincing win. It wasn't just a little bit of a win. Being down 17 points, I still was not worried, Gary. I'm an older guy, and my first Alabama football game was back in 1989. It was a quarterback by the name of Gary Hollingsworth over at War Memorial Stadium. We were down 21-0. In the first 7 minutes of the ball game, and that greedy bunch at Ole Miss did not want to call timeout. Had they called timeout, they might have won that game, but they didn't. They kept going, and Alabama kept going and kept scoring and kept scoring and kept scoring. And by the end of that ball game, I had brought my oldest son, who's an attorney now. He was at that game. He was 6 years old. And he said, "Daddy, why are they breaking their flags and throwing them down on the ground? There was rebel flags all over them bleachers."
You know, it's weird, Pat, because I happened to be there as well. I was working in Mississippi at the time, and remember it like it was yesterday at Memorial Stadium there in Jackson, and it was 21-0. I was in that press box thinking, oh, my gosh, Alabama scores 62 unanswered points, and then Ole Miss added a touchdown late to make it 62-27. And
28. Yeah,
62-27, and it was and Gary Hollingsworth, boy, had a day that day, and what a game!
Yeah, that got me hooked from that point on. I had to give up my lunch money to go to every Alabama game that I could get to from that point forward, and you know, saved and scrimped and all, and I had two boys that were doing every kind of athletic in the world at basketball, football, baseball, and they did it all at the state level, all up to the state level, and even had one with a competitive national chess score. And it took a lot of doing. I didn't hunt, didn't fish, but I spent a whole lot of money going to Alabama football games.
How about that?
Hey,
well, it's a good habit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, at eight. But look, this deal, Ty is ready. I feel like this defense. On a good points of this ball game, Keon Keeley's closing speed sure did surprise number 10, didn't it?
Yeah.
Ooh, man, that he finally showed up to be what he thought he was going to be.
Yeah, he's kind of slowly been making progress all year, Pat, and it's good to see Keon Keeley, who was a five-star out of high school there in the Tampa area. He is he's come a long way. I tell you, next year he could have a huge year, but you're right, he came up big in that game. Yeah. And what a great comeback, though.
Yeah, well, fantastic. But then, now Daniel Moore's probably going to make a painting of this game. I suggest, and somebody else came up with it, Drew DeOrman did, came up with making a split series because Lazier Brooks, turning into Superman, on that 4th-and-2 play where he got into the, broke three tackles to get into the end zone and looked like Superman crossing the goal. Hey, that's got to be one half of it, along with the catch that was Tyrone Prothro-ish.
Mm-hmm.
But, Tyrone's catch was pretty darn good, and they have a painting called The Catch. And at least he needs to at least do a pencil sketch of the two together for sure.
Yeah, it'd be pretty neat. I've already seen a lot of the photos with Prothro on one side and Bernard on the other. Bernard's great catch. Now, Prothro's still one of the best catches I've ever seen in the history of college football.
Hold on to that ball.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But Bernard made a great catch.
I think Prothro won a FCM that thing. I believe he did.
Yeah, SP. He sure did. I'm pretty sure he did, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Pat. Well, I know we'll be breaking down a lot of Alabama, Indiana coming up, but I won't be here. Right. We got shows today and tomorrow, and then we're off the rest of the week, just an FYI.
Okay. Good deal. Have a blessed one, sir. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Pat. Appreciate you. Appreciate your commitment to the show and also your friendship. Same with our next caller, Philip, and then we'll get Cowboy. A lot of our good callers calling in this morning. Hey, Philip, what's up?
Again, I just want to say Merry Christmas, first of all, in case I can't talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you as well.
Yeah, and appreciate what you guys do and what y'all bring to us all the time. But anyway, I tell you what, as far as that painting goes that Pat was talking about, I hope he includes an unsung hero that nobody's talking about, and that's Blake Dowd. He had a big punt in the second half that got a great bounce and was a – to me, a big contributor in the outcome of that game because it backed Oklahoma up.
Well, I'm glad he did because I'll be honest with you, I've been mixed on Blake Dowd. He has been okay at times. There have been other times he's really struggled. But I thought you're right. I thought he punted the ball a lot better the other night. And Alabama needed it. Let's be honest, Philip. They needed all three phases to come back and win that football game. And I really what really pleased me was the fact that they did kind of flip the script from the first meeting, you know, when they outgained Oklahoma and did a lot of good things. And in this game, you know, Alabama was a team that didn't get to 300 yards offense, but Alabama didn't turn it over. Alabama had a pick six. Yeah. Alabama held its own in the kicking game. So you're right. Dowd played a role in that. Talty played a role hitting that big field goal when it was 17-7. He kicked off great all night. And, yeah, they came back and did the things that they needed to do to flip the script to win the game. And you got to give Coach DeBoer and the coaching staff a lot of credit for that and the players for executing the game plan. As I said, I wasn't there. You weren't there. But you know how loud it was based on knowing what these stadiums are like. When it was 17-0 and you're in that environment to be able to come back and keep your poise and get back in the game, I mean, they deserve a ton of credit for that because it would have been easy to fold the tents. It would have been.
That's right. Hey, I didn't get to hear every single word of Rodney's part of the show. Did you guys talk any about LT Overton's possibility?
We did not, and I don't really know. Coach DeBoer is going to meet with the media today, and I'm assuming he's going to have updates on everybody, but we didn't talk about it because, quite frankly, I don't have any idea what's going on with him. But hopefully, we'll get an update today.
Well, I was just wondering about that. All right, man, I appreciate it, and great show, and look forward to the rest of it.
Thank you, Philip, as always. Hey, let me work in a quick app message here from Michael in Tuscaloosa. As much as I love a good blowout, I do like to see a close game at the half, then a pull-away win in the second half. It shows that the team has figured out the other team's game plan and has made adjustments that work. That seems to be what happened to Friday night. And then I got one that I missed on Friday. Do you think Michigan will wait until after the result of Bama's game Friday, whether to pursue DeBoer or not? I'll tell you this, it sure helps that Alabama won that game as far as what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing, but as I said before, and I'll continue to say it, regardless of the result, I think Kalen DeBoer is going to be the football coach at Alabama next year. I said that last week, and I'm saying it now. All right, let's get to Cowboy out here on the Gary Harris Show hotline. What's up, Cowboy?
How you doing, Gary?
Doing well.
Merry Christmas.
Same to you.
If I don't get in tomorrow. Did you watch that Miami Texas A&M game Saturday?
I did. I did. And I have to be honest with you. I pulled for A&M to win the game. I found myself pulling for A&M and wanting their fans to get the experience, you know, that win and that atmosphere. And as it turned out, it's just, And somebody wrote a piece I read yesterday, and I kind of agree with him, Cowboy. Yes, it was a good season. But at the end of the day, A&M fans got what they usually get, a big letdown. I mean, they didn't get to Atlanta. They still have never been to Atlanta for an SEC championship game. They didn't win a conference championship. They lost to Texas, and then they got to host a playoff game, but they lost at home to Miami and scored 3 points. It's like at the end of the day, are they any – this is what A&M does every year, Cowboy. I mean, they can never finish.
Yeah, loved it. I loved the game. I loved it. I liked the Hurricanes. I liked the physicality they played with. They took the fight to them. If the kicker wouldn't have had struggles with the win, that game wouldn't even been close. And Mario has got a good physicality going with his guys. His offensive coordinator, I can sit in the stands and watch him call plays. I saw him call the same kind of crap at SMU, and he doesn't fit Mario. He's a Hal Mummy, Daniel Holgerson style guy. But as a general rule, they got some dogs on that Miami team. And I don't know if they can beat Ohio State, but I'll tell you. And their defensive coordinator at Miami was Kurt Cignetti's defensive coordinator at James Madison his first year there in 2021. So, you know, I don't know if that means anything, but I think Indiana will be more physical than most people think.
Oh, Indiana's physical. Indiana, listen, a lot of people, I think, that are making blanket statements on Indiana probably have not ever even watched them play. And I'm not saying everybody, okay? Let me be clear on that. But I've already read some Alabama fans that are dismissing Indiana just because they're Indiana. And probably they are physical. Yeah. They are disciplined. And they hit you. I mean, this is not smoke and mirrors. I mean, I get the perception that some Alabama fans think, and this is the Big Ten. And, you know, I don't know. I just don't want to fall into that trap, and it sounds like you're the same way.
Well, I'm going to say it now. Indiana's going to crater in the pressure. They're going to crater in it. That's what I think.
Yeah.
It's the Rose Bowl. There'll be all this talk. DeBoer was at Indiana.
Wobbit was too.
Cincinnati at Alabama, and all these connections here and there. And I think Indiana's going to crater in the hype moment. They've never been in that kind of hype. And, you know, Alabama, it's a little tradition to Alabama. You think you got them buried and they come back. I'm sure, you know, I've never seen a game for Oklahoma since I've lived out here flip on their field like that. And I've kind of followed Oklahoma somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that, I still don't know how that game flipped. I think the punt dropped. But to play right before that, the guy dropped a touchdown.
No, I'm going to tell you where it flipped. It flipped in the 75-yard drive. Yeah, those plays. But if Alabama, when it's 17-0, if they don't come back and go 75 there and get on the board, I don't think any of those other plays happened. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with what you say in terms of Oklahoma maybe we helped them out, but Alabama down 17-0 when you couldn't hear yourself think in that place. I've talked to some people who were there, and you go 75 yards, and you get – that's when it flipped, because Alabama got back in the game with that drive. If they go three and out there, or they have
– do you think it was sound football to go for it on fourth and two, or would you
– No, in that case, and you know me well enough to know a lot of times I want to take points. It drives me crazy that nobody – that everybody just goes for it. Dan Campbell yesterday – but in that situation – yes, I thought it was the right play to go for it. I did. I just was thinking 3 points here. It would have felt empty to me. So in that situation, now, was it make or break? It probably was, because Alabama hit the play and they deserve credit for that. But if you don't make it there, you know, that game probably turns out different. But in that situation, I was saying go for it. And most of the time I'm saying kick the field goal.
You know, 3 weeks earlier, Dan Durkin was in the same situation at Auburn, and he took the points and went instead of going for it there. You remember?
Yeah, I do. But they were at home, too.
The difference in the mentality. He didn't win the football game, and DeBoer said, all right, we're rolling it. We're going for it.
Well, what I was pleased the most about, as I said earlier, is that Alabama kind of flipped the script from the first game where they moved up and down the field, but the turnovers got killed in the kicking game.
Yeah.
You know what? They got a pick six. They didn't turn it over. Kicking game was solid. Oklahoma made those mistakes. And, it's a really, really, really good win. And
that Oklahoma team is flawed, though. When have you ever seen Oklahoma not have a running?
Well, when have you ever seen Alabama not have a running game? I mean, it's you work with what you have, and it still bothers me that Alabama can't run the football any better than they can run the football. But at this point, it's all about trying to find a win. But I'm with you. I don't think Oklahoma's a great team, but they're certainly a team capable of winning that game after beating your place. And to go out there and to beat them after falling down 17-0, it's a huge win for Alabama, regardless of what happens at the Rose Bowl.
But, you know, I'm going to stick with my guns. Indiana's going to crater in the moment.
Well, we'll see. I don't think they will. I'm not ready to make a prediction by any means.
Then Alabama gets a home game in Atlanta against Oregon.
Well, let me ask you this. What have you seen from Kurt Cignetti, though, that makes you think they're going to crater in the moment? I think Alabama could win the game, but I don't think they're going to – I don't think that team's not going to be prepared and not ready for the moment. I disagree with you there.
Cignetti's quirkiness, and he's going to get up tight against Alabama. I'm just going with that. He's going to get up tight. You know, he acts wacky on the sidelines. Their fans say, we want Bama and all that stuff mid-year. You know, you ask what you get for. So, you know, maybe I'm wrong in thinking this way, but I've seen this kind of deal a lot of times in Alabama football, and Alabama usually doesn't crater in the moment on these kind of
games. No, they don't, and it is kind of neat that this is a 100-year anniversary of the Alabama trip to the Rose Bowl to beat Washington and put Southern football on the map, and so, you're playing in
But, you know, talking about Cignetti, we've got two coaches in this football game that are experienced with playoff football, Kalen DeBoer, NAIA football, and Kirk Cignetti, 1AA football and Division II football as a head coach.
Yeah, and DeBoer's also pretty experienced with it at this level, too, with that ruddy head at Washington.
Yeah, right, so. Right. So he's a playoff-style coach.
Well, that's a good thing.
And there's a different demeanor for being in the playoffs because, you know, you can't get too high after one win. You gotta be ready for the next game.
That's right.
And not let the win over Oklahoma beat you against Indiana. So, you know, and then we got, you know, beat Indiana. Then you got Texas Tech, Oregon, and Atlanta. Long way for both of those to come. Alabama home game. And then you'll have Alabama in the national championship game. I'm telling you, don't be surprised if it doesn't happen. I don't think they could win the national championship game coming, having to play three games before they get there. But, you know, because then injury tolls would start.
Well, nothing should ever surprise anybody about Alabama football. I mean, anytime Alabama goes out there, they got a chance to win. So, but there's a lot of work to be done, and we'll see what happens. But that was a huge win on Friday night, Cowboy. Alabama's still in the tournament, and they've got a shot to do something special. Hey, I got to run. Got to hit a break. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Be good.
All right, Merry Christmas. All right, it's 10:22, and we need to get to our break here. And when we come back, we are going to take some more phone calls. But right now, before we get to this break, I need to talk to you about my friends at Game Day Men's Health in Tuscaloosa. Because the truth of the matter is, if you're a man, and I am, and you're not feeling your best, you can do something about it. And you can do something immediately. I was just talking about, you know, me wanting to get back in the YMCA, but I'm also going to be using Game Day's Men's Health to get me on the track. Because if you are dealing with fatigue, stress, poor sleep, low libido, weight gain, these just aren't everyday annoyances. They can be signs your body needs support. And at Game Day Tuscaloosa, they get to the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your goals. They specialize in testosterone health, ED treatment, weight loss therapy, peptides, and vitamin therapy. Your personalized treatment starts with a signature three-step plan, complete intake and blood work, get the results in 15 minutes, meet with a clinic director who specializes in hormone therapy and men's health, and begin your customized treatment plan immediately. And remember, all consultations are free. Game Day Men's Health. Get back in the game.
And pints of our famous house made sauces. Please any crowd with the easiest party upgrade of the season. Order at foosackleys.net or the Foo app.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Visit alabamacu.com to learn more. Some rules and restrictions apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour specials. And for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama, remember, the name is Los Tarascos, with locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Oh, touchdown, Alabama!
On your home for Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9.
And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
This ain't gonna last for.
All right, 10:26. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show here on Tide 100.9 FM. Let's jump back out on the Gary Harris Show hotline and talk with our pal Ellis. Hey, Ellis.
You doing all right, Gary Harris?
Doing well, thank you.
I won't agree with the Cowboy there.
Okay.
I just think they're going to, like he said, they're going to do that. Like they were saying, they're going to choke.
You think so?
Yep.
Okay.
I ain't saying they ain't a good team because, you know, they, like you said, they got the the Heisman Trophy quarterback, and they have played good because I have watched them. But they've never been in the moment before. I seen somebody talking about it last night, and they said Kalen DeBoer's winning with Nick Saban's players, and I had to correct him on that. I go, well, I don't see where you see that at. He might still have some there, but he ain't got a whole lot.
Well, let's see. We can probably rattle it down. Jam Miller is a Nick Saban recruit. Ty Simpson's a Nick Saban recruit. Caden Proctor's a Nick Saban recruit. Will Conformi's a Nick Saban recruit. Let's see. Tim Keenan's a Nick Saban recruit. Deontay Lawson's a Nick Saban recruit. Justin Jefferson's a Nick Saban recruit. And let's see, across that front, I'm out looking at the lineup, but there's not that it matters, but there's probably half that starting roster is probably Nick Saban recruits.
But it don't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying. It does not matter. But I mean, but there are a lot of Nick Saban players on the team, but that's the way it should be. I mean, he recruited a lot of those guys.
Yeah, but I just had to say that. But I'm one of them at first thought it was going to be over. But then I thought, you know, things can happen and things can turn around with one play.
Mm-hmm.
And when that one play happened, it turned around. I couldn't go to sleep. I probably got 2.5 hours of sleep after that ball game.
You were that wired?
Yeah, I was that wired. I was talking to a friend of mine at 2:00 in the morning, and I was watching the re-air of the football game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so.
Well, that's the way it ought to be, man. It's like early Christmas present for Alabama fans when you come back and win one like that, man. You got, like you said, you got the enthusiasm, you got the adrenaline going, so it's hard to go to sleep.
Yeah, and Ty Simpson got a birthday present.
Yeah, he did. His birthday was yesterday, by the way, birthday number 23, and he got an early birthday present with that big win. So, absolutely. Happy birthday weekend. Yeah. Happy birthday to Ty.
That's right. Happy birthday,
Mark Ingram's birthday yesterday, too.
I could tell one more thing. I know you got to go, but I could tell that what's the tight end's name? I can't. It's hard
for him.
Yeah, you could tell he wasn't 100%.
He wasn't. He was not. But he gave him something, and now, and Miller wasn't either, but they both gave their team something, and they should be better for the Rose Bowl.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. I can't wait for that. And like y'all have already been talking about, ain't it kind of weird, kind of funny that the 100th year.
And the Rose Bowl, yeah. Alabama's initial trip to Pasadena, it is. It's ironic. Yeah, for sure.
I showed the Tennessee fans at it church yesterday morning. They weren't too thrilled about it.
Oh, well, too bad for them.
All right, but I'll let you go, and if I don't get to talk to you tomorrow, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, Ellis, but call back tomorrow if you can. Appreciate you, my friend, up there in Manchester, Tennessee. All right, it's 10:30. We're going to get to the break. We're going to come back with Casey Smith on golf, and we'll talk some golf. We'll also talk some football, basketball with Casey next year.
Cancel, contact us. Finance agreement 128 gigabytes, $599.99 required. Best mobile network in the U.S. based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data 1H 2025. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:33. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. It's time for Casey Smith on golf, and we'll talk some golf. We'll talk a little football and basketball with Casey as well. How's it going, Casey?
Hey, good morning, Gary. Hope you're well.
Doing great. Let's start with the PNC Championship. And again, this is, you like to call it, and I agree, it's kind of the silly season for golf, made for TV events. But this is a fun one because you have families playing together, father, son, sometimes father, daughter, sometimes mother, son. Father, grandson, it's different combinations, but it's a fun event, and we get to see some classic golfers like Lee Trevino still playing at 86 years old. holing out from the fairway, but it was Team Kuchar that just absolutely ran away with it. You usually don't see this wide of a margin. Matt Kuchar and his son won by 7 shots over Team Love and Team Daly.
Yeah, I mean, congrats to them. They were probably playing with a lot of emotion, or really not probably, but definitely playing with a lot of emotion. Matt's dad, Peter, recently passing. His son, Cameron, is a absolute stick, as you can tell. Matt Kuchar had a phenomenal, I mean, they shot 18 under, you know. So it's hard to beat when someone goes out and shoots 18 under par. And really ran away with it. And from some really good opponents. I mean, Drew Love, who played golf at Alabama, who I've gotten to know well, he's working on the family business, design business, and keeps a good game and can still obviously really play. He and his dad at minus 26 with the Dailies, whose son's a senior at Arkansas and a good player. And then the court is obviously, you know, she's been the number one player in the world for a while. And Stricker's been the best player on the Champions Tour. So it's not a lot of formidable opponents that all came up short. You can see what the barometer was about minus 26 there. And then the Kuchars just went nuclear at minus 33. And yeah, I think probably emotion came into play. And the event did not have the juice it had with the Tiger and Charlie Woods and really Justin Thomas and his dad playing the last couple of years. But you obviously know that will come back and be an even better event next year. That was the one silly season event that I'd been watching more of since Tiger and Charlie started playing in it. And yeah, it's good. Good win for them, and they made it look easy.
Sticking with the PGA Tour, no surprise, last week Scottie Scheffler was named the 2025 PGA Tour Player of the Year, the Jack Nicklaus Award, 4th consecutive year for him to win it. That matches a feat that Tiger Woods was able to do, and we've talked about it. It's a different style than Tiger, much more low-key, much more, you know, guy next door, but as a player right now, he's doing Tiger-like stuff. He is a dominant number one on the PGA Tour, and that's hard to do when you look at the caliber of players that are out there.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people thought Rory may should have won it this year, but when you look at it top to bottom, I mean, Scottie Scheffler ranked first or second in 38 different stat categories on the PGA Tour this year. I mean, there's no one that's even close, right? I mean, strokes gained total, tee to green approach, I mean, you just name it, scoring average, bounce back, round one, round two, round three, round four scoring average, par four scoring average, front nine, back nine, early, late, you name it, right? And where he's second, it's like off the tee approach, from 150 to 175, approaches from inside of 200, par breakers, birdie average. I mean, they got consecutive cuts made. He really has a... It may be a little different, but there is a lot of similarities to how he and Tiger Woods go about it. And it's why Scottie Scheffler, I think, would never really looked at going to Live, is he realized that a 4-round golf tournament benefits him more than, and they do everything with a lot of thought in their, you know, in their really approach, he and his family and everyone involved, his team. A four round golf tournament always identifies the best champion, and he's the best 4-round player on the planet right now, and has been for 4 years in a row. And I don't think it'll really slow down. I did see where the TGL, who starts on 12/28, they filed for a trademark of the like Texas Golf Club or whatever, and he was down there hitting some shots at TGL recently. So I think something we could see, not this year, but next year, would be a team of the Texas guys, of he and Spieth and maybe a few more. But, yeah, I mean, look, the guy was hurt at a point last year, too, and still had that type of year. I expect him to have as good of a year as he's ever had this coming year. I mean, he's in the prime of his game, and seems like he's got his life in order.
I mentioned the Jack Nicklaus Award. And you sent me some interesting text on Jack, and again, just the absolute living legend. But to be alive and be featured on Currency, that is, and not be a politician. I want you to explain that a little bit, please.
Yeah. So there is the Royal Bank of Scotland issued a Scottish pound that's in currency It's a commemorative banknote, and it just it talks about the history of 40 years of him at the U.S. Open, 37 Open Championship appearances, 3 wins, 7 runner-ups, 18 top tens, and they say 1 Jack Nicklaus. And it, you know, his first appearance in 1962 and his last in 05, and it's a currency you could actually use. It's got the St. Andrews scorecard on it, hit the Golden Bear logo on one side, and his son, Mike Nicklaus, is an investor in my company, a close friend, and works in my office. And I actually got some of them, and he got his dad to sign some of them, gave them to us for Christmas. And, you know, we talked about it when I was there, when I visited with him earlier this year, and with his dad. And just because of the business I'm in, I collect stuff too. So thought it was a cool thing. Glad he signed it. Appreciate him signing it. And, you know, the only living person to ever be featured on a Scottish pound, much less an American, right? So that's something. It says something about how revered he is and type of person he is and career he's had.
Yeah, it is. And he'll turn 86 in January. And next April, of course, will be the 40th anniversary of his last Masters victory. And as long as we've got Jack here, we need to enjoy and embrace him and what he stands for. All right, I want to ask you about anything else in golf before I want to get your thoughts on Alabama's stirring comeback against Oklahoma in the college football playoff. Any other golf notes that you want to hit on?
Nothing more in golf. It's really we're golfless until we're not really totally golfless. Some of the other silly stuff, but the December 28th, the TGL season kicks off. That really bridges the gap until early the Sony Open, which is early January.
So yep.
Really right around the corner.
It is right around the corner. All right. Listen, I mean, we're all human. When it was 17-0, midway through that second quarter, Alabama looked dead in the water. I think we all were thinking, you know, this is going to be a rough night, but Alabama fall back and went 75 yards, hit that 4th-and-2 to Brooks for the touchdown. And so I think they created their own momentum. I think a lot of cases being made about Oklahoma's mistakes. But I think Alabama created its own momentum. But from that point on, they seized the game. And just a huge win based on the fact that Oklahoma had already beaten them this year. If you go out and the first round of the playoffs, it leaves you feeling a little bit empty. Now you get to go to the Rose Bowl and play the top seed in Indiana. So a monumental victory. As great as Alabama football's tradition is and history, Casey, with where they're at right now, with Kalen DeBoer and this trying to transition from Nick Saban, that was just a gigantic win for Alabama football, right?
I agree. I couldn't agree more. I thought that there was a moment in the game that, you know, I thought that we were going to potentially have the same call we had after the Florida State game, Monday call. I was worried. I've been at the Georgia game, both Georgia games this year, went to the other Oklahoma game, a couple other games. And I thought, dang, after what I just saw in person in Atlanta, here we go again. But during the game, when we're down 17-0, and I'm a coach's kid. And so I think sometimes Ty Simpson, as a coach's kid, you play sometimes – you know, you play not to lose instead of playing to win. And I've heard the coaches say they've got to get him to let it rip, right? Well, during the game, when we're down 17, I noticed the defensive tackle for them starts talking trash to him. And from that moment on, that guy was elite, you know? He let it rip. He threw that deep ball. He threw that – the next play was like he throws one over the middle for 26 yards. I mean, he was so sharp. And he had a chip on him after the game. He had a chip on him in the post game. And, you know, I felt like that's where the switch just flipped. And, you know, you're going to go as your QB goes. And it seemed like that momentum you're talking about, the whole switch flipped. And then all it takes is a play. And you start one play at a time shifting that momentum back. And it sucked it out of there. And that place is electric, you know. And to go there and win after the – lack of success that we've had, and you know, the last game to flip that from 17 down, I agree, monumental win. And now you get to go really be an underdog, and we don't get to be underdogs very often in a Rose Bowl against a team who's had a terrible history, but they're on the mountaintop right now, and I think we can go knock them off. I mean, when you look at what we did, and we still had all the drops and we still had some missed tackles, clean up the drops, clean up the tackles, do everything else great. Keep kicking the ball well from the field goal kicker's perspective. And let him keep, you know, doing well as well. Like, those things come together, and we stop, you know, we continue playing mistake-free football. I mean, the spread's what, 5? Indiana minus 5? I like it. I think we're going to beat Indiana. You know, I think we're going to beat Indiana. I think we can beat anything because the teams that are ahead, we went to Georgia and beat Georgia. It's just got to get the team that showed up the last three quarters, you know, the other night. If they show up, they can beat anyone. I mean, that was a formidable opponent in a electric environment with a lot of great athletes. If you look at Alabama's roster, Indiana's roster, we got more athletes than them. And their best defensive player got hurt in the title game. And they've been on a little bit of a break, which I think sometimes can hurt you.
Yeah, make a lot of good points there, that's for sure. So it's going to be fun. And Alabama's still alive, and that's what matters.
Well, I would say, and then in terms of basketball, I don't know if you had any time, but
well, no, that's where I was going to go. Let me set you up. Let me set you up a little bit, because yeah, we do have time, and that's how I was going to follow up, because I want to ask you about yesterday's game, because you knew Antoine Pettway and Phillip Pearson, those guys were not going to quit up at the Rocket City Classic in Huntsville, and they were down 54-28 at half and down 30 early in the second half. But you know, I think Nate Oates was disappointed in how the team finished the game. I mean, they got outscored 53-38 in the second half down the stretch. I mean, it turned out still to be a rather easy win, 92-81. But still the concerns, Casey. They got out-rebounded by 9. They got out-rebounded again on the offensive glass. So there's still some things with this team that concern you, even though they are a very potent offensive group.
Yeah, I mean, 92-81, go to 9-3. He still ranked 16. I always wonder what he would feel like if you said right now you stopped and you look back. Would you be pleased? I think probably on paper, okay, yes, we've navigated that. I think probably when you get to the box scores and really what's going on, he's very upset. As I watched his post game again this morning, you know, he's going to try to continue to use the bench. And I think he should as motivation. Taylor Beaubois didn't play as much, still only had 2 rebounds, and he alluded to that. Aiden Sherrill probably had as good of a game as he could have had. He went 8-for-10, 7 rebounds. Needed that. We're going to have that every game. The lack of bigs we have, our bigs are going to have to really play tough and play, I mean, really tough and score when called on and not shoot as many threes. Realize that my scoring needs to come from more inside, I think. And, you know, I mean, he said it. We're going to find rebounders. So I think he's going to be committed to now. You're going to play if you rebound, and if you don't rebound, you're not. Because we got out-rebounded again. And I know that they were jacking up shots and all that, meaning Kennesaw State. But he's going to point to them. Got out-rebounded 46-41. You know, what do you think Kentucky's going to do if you don't play a little bit better? They're going to out-rebound us by a bigger margin than that, and then you don't win, right? So I'm with you. I think that's the glaring hole is that it's size and effort probably combined. It's probably a little bit of it is there. We are outsized a little bit, but there's one other way you get out of making of the rebounding issue too. You make more shots. And I think, you know, you don't have as many to rebound if they go through the net.
That's right. No, that's a huge part of it, and you don't turn it over. And there's a lot of things, as you said. Now they need to tighten up, but they've got a chance to be a really good team. And
I mean, if we shoot at any night, the one thing you notice with this team, if we shoot upper 30% in threes or mid 30% in threes, we're going to run everybody out of the gym. And I just think it's got to make some more shots, but you got to rebound a lot more to really make the run that I thought earlier in the year when I said on air that I thought this could be our best team ever. You know, it looks good when they're all going in. When they don't, sort of the holes start to show up. But that's why it's going to be a flip of coin team in the tournament, and no one's going to want to play Alabama in a tournament. You're right. In a one game go home, you're like, God, if they get hot, we're dead. Because I don't think there's any team they're not going to beat if the shots go in.
Yeah, but like you said, the key is can they win the grimy games, the games when the shots aren't going in? Can they defend and rebound well enough?
Yeah, it's how do you beat an Arizona or Purdue that's got all the size when you get in a war like that? How do you, and you know, go back to UConn, we got beat in the Final Four, any of those games, and you know, how do you win those games if the shots aren't going in? The that's probably like how they got to figure it. Well, they got to figure that out.
That's the test.
How do we adjust our game?
That's the test. Hey, Casey, good stuff, man.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you. All right, 10:49, and lunch is right around the corner, and you need to consider one of the great places that helped me out here on the show. And one of those places is Brick and Spoon, downtown at Timberson Square. Breakfast, brunch, and lunch weekdays from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Same on the weekend, 7 days a week. Great food, great options, and a lot of fresh fruit too, which I'm big on. I'm big on fresh fruit. So check out Brick and Spoon at Timberson Square for lunch or brunch or breakfast. 7 days a week. All right, we're going to come back and wrap it up. We'll get to another phone call here. We're not going to have time, as it turns out, to play any of the Kalen DeBoer or Coach Oates Al, but that's the way it goes. When we get our calls, we're going to take our calls. We'll be back with more of the Gary Harris Show on this Monday, getting ready for Christmas right after this.
There wasn't even room in the inn. Let him into your home and have a Merry Christmas. From Taco Casa.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Visit alabamacu.com to learn more. Some rules and restrictions apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour specials. And for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama, remember, the name is Los Tarascos, with locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy skies today with a few light showers possible, mainly west and south, though many areas stay dry. Highs in the lower 60s tonight, mostly cloudy and mild, lows in the upper 40s to lower 50s. Tomorrow brings improving skies, warmer temperatures, highs rising into the upper 60s to near 70 degrees. I'm meteorologist Bill Murray on Tide 100.9.
It's 58 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
24/7, 365. We've got all your coverage of the Crimson Tide on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. You got to
give me gasoline. All right, 10:53, welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Had a good show today, and we're not done yet. We're going to get to another phone call here with our good pal Tom, get his thoughts on Alabama and more. Hey, Tom.
Hey, good morning, Gary. Merry Christmas to you, if I don't get to talk to you anymore this year.
Same to you. Thank you.
You know, Gary, I was one of the ones that became so frustrated during the first quarter. I didn't know what to do, and I had to restrain there for a little bit because I thought we'd come in there and didn't want to be there. That's what I thought we played like in the first quarter, that we wanted to get this over with, we were sick of it, and all like that. And Casey pointed out, I saw what jawing back and forth with Ty with that defensive lineman. And I didn't think that much about it, but, you know, now that he mentioned it, that could have been something that got Ty going. I don't know why it took that to get Ty going, but I don't know. This team is the strangest outfit I have ever seen. The coaching, the playing, everything is nothing like I've ever seen at Alabama.
Well, you know, it's
And they win, though.
Yeah, it's been a roller coaster season. But now more than ever, with the new era of college football, it is about how you end, how you finish rather than how you begin. And the bottom line is this. Alabama's one of eight teams left with a chance to win the national championship. And
right.
How, regardless of how you get here, you know, here's the thing. And again, and you know, Tom, I think you and I are both are traditionalists, man. We probably, you know, still would enjoy going back to the days when the bowl games meant something and you played in a bowl game and you won it and you hope they voted you the national champion or a BCS where there are only two. But this is the system. So now more than ever, regardless of what you do in the regular season, you're going to be remembered by what you do in this playoff, or if you don't get to the playoff, right. You know, if Alabama, which lost three games, wins a national championship, nobody's going to care, you know. And if Indiana, which is sitting here 13-0 and Big Ten champions, which you can't take away from them, but if they lose on New Year's Day, their season's going to be remembered negatively. I mean, the postseason, much like the case now with basketball, has always been this way. It's a tournament sport now, and it, you know, what you do in this tournament is what people are going to remember you for. And Alabama's got a chance to do something special.
You know, that I agree with everything you said, and you're right. I am one of those people, but I have got to wake up to the fact that what you just said is different. And, you know, it's a playoff system now, and that's going to be a lot of difference. But the thing that to me, though, is that Coach DeBoer and this staff, they fit this. They fit what's going on in this era of college football. Or am I wrong? And that's but because I don't understand it, doesn't mean that it's not the best thing for it. And but somewhere in a back room somewhere, people that invented the NIL, the transfer portal, and enacted it into college football, they're laughing their rear end off. Because this is what they wanted.
Well, they got it, and now I think it's important. I think it's important now, Tom, that we tweak it a little bit. My opinion is like everybody else's, but I just can't understand for the life of me why more people don't look at this the way that I do and say, you know what, this 12-team playoff is kind of screwed up. Guaranteeing G5s. Let's go to 16 teams. Let's do away with the buys. Let's line them up. Let's get eight. You know, those home games were incredible. Let's get eight first round home games on campus instead of four. And let's peg them. Let's just knock them down from 16 to 8 to 4 to 2. Let's move the games up. We play each game a week apart instead of now we got a 2-week gap and make this thing a little more symmetrical. I think it would be better. And I think that's where they're headed. I do think they're going to be headed to a 16 teamer.
I do too. I think you're right. I think that's a great idea. And you know, do away with that championship game. Let's get this thing going, and you'll have to agree, because I believe this, and I wonder if you agree, is that this has been one of the more entertaining college football seasons that I've seen in many.
It has been. It's been stressful, entertaining, long, but that's the new world that we're in. And if you make it all the way to the championship game, you're not going to wrap up. You're going to start your season in, you know, the end of August, and you're not going to wrap it up until the end of January. But that's where we're at, man. Hey, you got to run, Tom. Thanks, man.
Love the show.
Merry Christmas to you. Okay, it's 10:58. That's going to put a wrap on it for the Gary Harris Show. And thanks to all our great sponsors that make the show possible. Thank Reed for being in. He'll be back tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow. And then again, Tide is taking the day off on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and the day after Christmas. So we're going to finally get a little bit of a break, too. But we'll be back next week to get you ready for the national championship game. So we're looking forward to that. But I'll be here tomorrow with a full show, Tuesday morning at 9 a.m., the Gary Harris Show. Coming up next is the Miller's Edge. Have a great day, everybody.